Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. I am often very impressed and just stand in awe today of the intelligence of mankind and the things they're coming up with. As far as you just think of technology, and maybe a lot of this is because of my age, but even the cell phone was just a foreign. If you would have told me as a teenager that we would be using cell phones the way we are in the future, I would have thought you're crazy. That how could that possibly happen? That's just one small thing. But today with AI, the way that's working, it's just like I can't comprehend how that is functioning and working, and robots, electric cars. My nephew's son just bought a Tesla recently, and he drives it for thousands of miles without touching the steering wheel. The car just goes, and he tells it where to go, and it goes. And he's at Lowe's, and it's raining, and he tells it it's in the parking lot, and he calls his car, and it comes up to him. See, it's not too many years ago that I marveled at a remote start on a car, but now, much better, you just ask it to come to you. And, of course, Elon Musk and all the things that he has accomplished, and especially here a few months ago, you know, it's one thing to send a rocket up, but it's another thing to catch it on the way down. And I just marvel that people, the things they are doing. And yet, the Bible tells us that King Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. It tells us in 1 Kings 3:5 that the Lord asked Solomon in a dream, "What I shall give thee?" And this was Solomon's request. He said, "Give me an understanding heart to discern between good and bad." And God responded this way. He says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Wisdom and what King Solomon had was amazing. And we want to look at just one phrase that this morning that King Solomon made in Ecclesiastes, and it's my message title, and the title is "Wisdom is Better Than Strength." Wisdom is better than strength. There's three times in the Bible, and I believe they all are attributed to King Solomon, that he used this phrase, "Wisdom is better than." And we're just looking at one of them this morning, but I want to just reflect on the other two just a bit. The other one is, he said in Ecclesiastes 9:18, Solomon said, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war." And he also said in Proverbs 8, or most people attribute Proverbs 8 to the writings of Solomon, he said, "Wisdom is better than rubies." And in Bible times, rubies were considered to be one of the most precious gems that there was. He said, "Wisdom is better than rubies." And then he follows in that same verse, and he says, "And all things that may be desired are not to be compared with it." So King Solomon sets wisdom up on this very, very high pedestal and says, "You can compare nothing to wisdom. Wisdom is better than strength," is what we want to consider this morning. July 4th, my son-in-law and his family were out at Lake Raystown, and they invited Marion and I to come out for a day, and so we went out and haven't been out there for 30-some years, haven't water-skied for some 30-some years, and he just very gently a couple times reminded me how awesome, it would really be great if I could, you know, after all this time, if I could get up in a pair of skis again. And I was debating this, and I think I was wavering between my own strength and wisdom. What, you know, at 66 years old, what? And so finally I gave in, and I got up on skis a few times and enjoyed it. But in the week and a half since then, when I wake up in the morning or when I stand up, I'm wishing I would have had wisdom because I'm very stiff and sore, and my muscles just tell me that what I did was would have been much better to refrain and say, you know what, this is just not for me anymore. I had to think of that as I was preparing this message. Wisdom is better than strength. We can probably all think of times when we relied on our own strength, whether it was picking up a hitch that was we knew is really heavy, and it's like, should I get somebody to help with this, or oh, I can do it, and then paying dearly because of hurting ourselves or stretching some muscles, relying on our own strength instead of using wisdom. When that happens, it's simply the results of it is physical pain and suffering in that way. This morning, we want to think about it in spiritual matters. Relying on our own strength in spiritual matters has far worse consequences, and it will and can ultimately lead to destruction. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, "There is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is the ways of death." And I believe that down through the ages, the one thing that will keep most people out of heaven is relying on their own strength and their own human reasoning on how they can appease God and come under and experience the mercy of God on their own strength. It's simply, I can do this my way. And the truth is, it simply does not and will not work. Turning your Bibles to, for an introductory verse, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. In this verse, Matthew 11, 28. Very familiar invitation that Jesus gives. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In this verse, we have two groups of people. And notice Jesus does not say, "I might give you rest." He says, "I will." He says, "You come to me, and I will give you rest." And so we have a people group, a group of people that are experiencing the peace of God in their hearts and their lives, and they are at rest. And the other group of people is in the beginning of the verse, and they are the people that are working and working and trying to appease God and to experience peace with God and using their own efforts, and it is totally impossible to do. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, my wife Marion had a Muslim lady in the store, and she said to Marion, "Can I ask you a question?" And generally when people ask Marion that in the store, it's about the prayer veiling, but when it's a Muslim lady fully in her attire, well, she's surely not going to ask about a prayer veiling, and she didn't. But her question was really simple, and I think it speaks volumes to what people from the Muslim world see in Christianity. And her question simply was, "Why are the Amish?" And when people like that are asking about the Amish, it means Amish Mennonites. They see us all as the same. She says, "Why are the Amish always smiling and seem so happy?" What a question, and what a eye opener to what other parts of the world and other religions see in true Christianity. And it's the same thing. Shane and Teresa are headed to Greece this week or next week from our congregation at Myerstown. And they were over there serving for 3 months earlier. And Shane said the same thing. He said one of the things that intrigues him the most about working in Greece with the refugee camp there is the people coming, refugees coming in, and he said one of the most often asked questions is, "What is it about you guys? Why are you so happy? What you're different. There's something different here. Wisdom is better than strength, than trying to do it yourself. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes and chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16 is where we find it. Our message title this morning. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So our message title, wisdom is better than strength. Maybe we should, before we look at the context here, I want to just think a little bit about wisdom. And when it comes to defining the word wisdom, you look in the Hebrew and the Greek, and it simply says skillful and wise. Skillful and wise. A simple remedy for a seemingly complex and impossible situation is, now that's my words, but when I think of wisdom, a simple remedy for a seemingly complex, seemingly impossible situation. Those of us who are mechanics, and I know a lot of you in here know how to sling wrenches and fix things, and I find it so true in this area. Wisdom is better than strength. I can't tell you how many things I have ruined or damaged by saying, by taking the hammer to it or thinking, I can get this, I can force it off, or I can force it on, and then have a lot of regret, and then discover that, oh, here's a little pin. If you take this out, or here's a keeper, or here's a, you know, if you go to the owner's manual or talk to somebody that's been through it before, there's often this very tiny thing that will solve all your problems and make it real easy. But if you take a hammer to it, or you try to force it by strength, usually you end up very sorry, and sometimes it costs me a lot of money doing that. But no, wisdom is better than strength. Some time ago, I seen one of my grandsons he had this little toy, very small. You put it in the palm of your hand, and he's struggling with it. And after a while, I don't know, something wasn't working right or what, but he went and he got this huge vice grip. And I said, this isn't going to work out well. This is not going to end good. I think the tool is much, much bigger here than, I don't know what the problem was, but wisdom, stop, think, it's much better than strength. Now, I want to read the context that we find Solomon's phrase in here. And it's starting at verse 13 through 18, where he gives us this phrase, wisdom is better than strength. Ecclesiastes 9:13 says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Wisdom is better than strength. The wisdom that Solomon writes about here, this story he gives about this city, let's keep in mind as Solomon being the wisest man that ever lived, was impressed by the wisdom that this individual had in delivering this city. It tells us in verse 14 that it was a small city. Think of a small walled city somewhere, and with very few residents. It had a wall, but it had a very weak group of people within it. There was not a great amount of people in this city. And Solomon tells us that a great king came against this small city, and his intentions were to destroy the city. In fact, he went to great extremes. It tells us that he besieged the city and built great bulwarks against it. He surrounded the city and basically locked it down. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. He had the city totally besieged. It was seemingly a helpless situation, and common sense would tell us there's no way out. This king is going to overtake this city. We're done. He's outside with a strong army. He has the city sealed. We can't get out to get food. We can't get any more necessities. What we have in here is all that we have. And when our food is all, we're finished. And I'm sure that they sat down and they reasoned among themselves, how can we possibly defend ourselves? What's the manpower that we have here? How many people do we have? What are the weapons that we have? How much food do we have? How much water do we have? How long can we survive? Seemed like a terrible situation. I want to draw some spiritual parallels to this account this morning. And the first one is here. This little city represents my life and your life. Born with a sinful nature, and we discover that we are besieged. We are surrounded. We discover that Satan, this evil king, has come and put great bulwarks against our life. And we are so helpless and do not have the power to overcome the siege that he has laid upon our lives. We have bad habits. We have addictions. We are dishonest. We are immoral. Satan has this great bulwark built against us. We find all these things in the sin nature that we were born with. And we find ourselves as being no match for our adversary. We're going to run out of resources after a while, and it seems like a totally helpless situation that we find ourselves in. And the first reaction always is to fight back. Use the resources that I have. Surely I can get myself out of this predicament. I can figure it out. We may even go to church. We may attend prayer meeting. We may read our Bibles. We can do all these things, but it's to no avail against Satan. He is a strong adversary, and he has besieged our lives. Satan will not give up and cannot be overcome through human strength. Solomon says very wisely, wisdom is better than strength. Doesn't matter how much a person, you can volunteer in the fire company all your life. You can volunteer in the ambulance all your life. You can help your neighbors. You can do all kinds of things that on the surface are very good things. Nothing wrong with them. You can do, with your own strength, you can spend your life doing things in an effort to please God. But on your own strength, it is not going to help. Solomon says, wisdom is better than strength. Notice the poor wise man Solomon talks about in verse 15 that delivers the city. Notice this poor wise man. It was not the governor. He was poor. He had no money. He obviously had no weapons. But it says that he delivered the city with wisdom. But it gives no details on how he did it. Absolutely no details on how this poor wise man delivered the city. The king apparently was defeated, and he fled, and the city was saved by a poor wise man. And Solomon is amazed at how this poor wise man delivered the city. We don't know for sure what Solomon was thinking about here. Was Solomon, was this just a story? Or was Solomon reflecting on something that happened in the past? I think he may have been reflecting on something very similar to this. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, there's a story. And the story is about a hot-headed man, it tells us. And I'll just go over this a little bit without turning to the verses. It's quite a few verses, and we'll save time by just, I'm going to relay what happened in this story. A hot-headed man by the name of Sheba rebelled against King David. And it says that Sheba blew a trumpet and said, "Let's get out of here. David is not our king." He rebelled against the king. And he fled from the presence of King David. And the Bible says that all except Judah and Benjamin deserted David and fled with Sheba. Huge amount of people went with Sheba. And when David discovered what happened, he instructed Abishai and Joab. He said, "Take the elite guard from Joab's army and David's own bodyguards and go capture Sheba before he gets into a walled city somewhere and we can't reach him." That was the instructions of his elite guard and his own bodyguards. Go get Sheba. But Sheba had already got into a walled city. It tells us that Sheba traveled across Israel, and he and his clan took refuge in the walled city of Abel. And there he was in the walled city. When David's elite troops arrived at Abel, they besieged the city, and they built bulwarks against the city. It says in the Bible, they built a mound to the very top of the wall and began battering the walls down of the city of Abel. Now let's go back and notice a few verses in 2 Samuel chapter 20, and see how this city was delivered. 2 Samuel chapter 20, starting at verse 16. So here we have this elite guard. They have a bulwark set against the city. The city is locked down, the same as King Solomon's story that we're looking at in Ecclesiastes. Same scenario happening here. And then in 2 Samuel verse chapter 20, verse 16, "Then cried a wise woman out of the city, 'Hear, hear, say I pray unto you, Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee.' And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, 'Art thou Joab?' And he answered, 'I am he.' Then she said unto him, 'Hear the words of thine handmaid.' And he answered, 'I do hear.'" So here we have, I can imagine this was probably at night, maybe not, but most likely. And the city's besieged, and this woman is hollering for Joab. And after a while, he's on the other side of the wall. They can't see each other, but they're communicating with each other. And in verse 18, we have this lady saying, "Then she spake, saying, 'They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel, and so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?' And Joab answered and said, 'Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city.' And the woman said unto Joab, 'Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall.' Then the woman went into all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew the trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king." Very, very similar account. And the timing, King Solomon could have been very well aware. This had happened previous to Solomon writing Ecclesiastes. And in this account, it's a wise woman that delivers the city. So this woman, in her wisdom, had the head of Sheba cut off and cast to Joab, and thus was the way that she delivered the city. In our text this morning in Ecclesiastes, it says, "And by his wisdom delivered the city." So think of us as being the city that is besieged. And how can we, a poor wise man, deliver or save ourselves from the tyrant? Strength will not work. There is nothing within our fallen nature that can overpower Satan. What is, when you think about the head of Sheba, and I can personally relate to Sheba. Sheba rebelled against his king. He rebelled against David and fled to Abel, to the city of Abel, and took a bunch of people with him. And each one of us, born with a sinful nature and the fallen nature, where we find ourselves, when our conscience is awakened, we discover that we are a rebel. And who are we rebelling against? God Himself. We have rebelled against our authority, as Sheba did here in this setting. And so here this wise woman is, and she says to Joab, "What is it? What is it that will cause you to back away from destroying this entire city and creating so much damage?" And he says, "I just want the head of Sheba. There's only one thing that's going to do." Joab was interested in one thing. 50 other heads weren't going to be good enough. No, he was after the head of Sheba. Just one thing will suffice this city to not be destroyed. Throw the head of Sheba over the wall, and the city will be delivered. The head of Sheba, the rebel, appeased Joab. What is the one thing that will satisfy and appease God that we can do? What's the head of Sheba that needs to be, in a sense, thrown over the wall to avoid a great tragedy? What is the wisdom that we need to apply when we discover that our city is surrounded and locked down by an evil tyrant? It is the head of the rebel within us. And what is that? It is our own will, our own selfish will, our carnal desires, our own wanting to do it our way. See, with strength, strength equals our own way. I got this. I can do this. I can work this out. I can reason through this. But wisdom equals a total surrender to our Creator. And that is the only thing that puts our heart to peace. And it was the head of Sheba thrown over the wall that put this whole city to peace. The only way that you and I can obtain the peace, the joy, the happiness that other religions see in Christianity is by totally surrendering to the Lord Jesus. Question, did the plan of salvation, just an interesting thought, did the plan of salvation come by wisdom or strength? You know, Jesus was there on the cross giving his life. He could have called legions of angels. He had the power to just take himself. He was God, God himself. But the plan of salvation came through wisdom. Jesus had all the strength necessary, and he could have applied strength. But the plan of salvation, the beautiful plan of salvation, came through wisdom to this world. I like this saying. The saying is this: God can do more with my surrender than I can do with my control. God can do more with my surrender to him than I can do with my control, doing things with my own strength. God wants and desires our total surrender to him. Wisdom is better than strength. Much better than strength. And when you look at the wisdom of surrendering our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's that little retainer, it's that little pin, it's that little thing that makes all the difference in the world. It is what opens ourselves up to spiritual life, and the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling us opens us up to salvation. And it is so important. And yet you look at it, and people, I think people that are living by their own strength, they look at it and say, how can such a small thing have such huge, make such a huge difference? And they just don't understand it. They struggle with it. How can this be true? but it is. And King Solomon said, wisdom is better than strength. Notice yet, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, something that I think is very important. You think of Christianity and you think of serving the Lord and having applied wisdom and having been blessed in your life by salvation and happiness and contentment and serving the Lord. In verse 16, where he says, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. Did you ever discover, brothers and sisters, that Christianity is not highly esteemed in this world? It simply is not. In many, many instances, it is despised. Genuine, born-again Christians are not held in high esteem. Many times we are despised. And Solomon goes on in verse 17. He says, the words of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And that is the world we live in. So cherish and appreciate and love the spiritual life that you have. And know that it was obtained by wisdom. When God was calling you, it was a very wise thing to surrender everything to him and to experience salvation. But don't expect the world to stand up and applaud and to be thrilled with the commitment you made and with the life you are living. Because as Solomon says, wisdom oftentimes is despised and not looked upon highly at all. I trust that you've been challenged this morning as I have been by the writings of Solomon and this simple phrase, wisdom is better than strength. And when you come to a crossroad in your life and decisions to be made, maybe affecting your future, stop and think, whether it's in physical matters or spiritual matters, most importantly, when it's in spiritual matters, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that wisdom is better than strength. Trying to do it yourself is doomed to failure. Wisdom is better than strength. God can do more with my surrender than I can do with my own control. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for these words that King Solomon penned so many years ago. And just we stand in awe that he had the knowledge and the wisdom to write some of the things that he wrote. And help us to always remember that truly wisdom is better than strength. And help us, each one of us, to apply it to our lives. If there's anybody here this morning that has not committed their life to you, Lord, help them to know that wisdom is the only way to peace and joy and contentment and spiritual life and a spiritual awakening and the new birth which is found only in you. Help us to always remember that you demonstrated that on the cross, that wisdom is better than strength, and that is also the way that we can be born into your kingdom. If there's anyone here who has not made that decision, Lord, just give them the motivation and the wisdom to apply that to their own lives, knowing that only therein is happiness and joy found. Thank you so much for what you have done for each one of us and the joy that you give us. Help us to be faithful as we serve you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.